So as you heard me say and Caleb give testimony by standing up here, he struggled for the last little while with a bit of fear. And I want to tell you about kind of what precipitated this morning's event of him asking for prayer. And about early in the week, this week, we're sleeping, you know, sound asleep. It's pitch black in our room. Caleb sleeps just about, 5 feet away from me, and in our little closet that is his special bedroom. We love it. He loves it. But that's where he is, and we're all sound asleep, and it's the middle of the night, and he cries out. Now, if you're a parent, you recognize that through time, you get to know the cries of your kids. And this was a cry that was pure fear. He was so afraid. And so I jumped out of bed very quickly, and I'm on my way, you know, that whole long distance of 5 feet to get to him. But I say, "Baby, it's okay. Mama's here. Mama's here." And he mumbles something under his breath. And of course, it's like, 3 o'clock in the morning. So I'm like, "What did you just say?" And I focused in, and he said, "I love you, Mama." I get to his bed. All of, 2 seconds have passed. The kid is sound asleep. Perfect picture of peace. Just so peaceful. So at rest. All he needed to know was Mama's here. You're not alone. You're not alone. Nothing externally really changed. It was still dark. It was still quiet. But he knew that I was there. And so his fear left because my presence was known. And as I've processed that throughout the week, it just has struck me how little he needed. It was just that assurance that my mom is here. I'm not alone. I wonder if you've experienced that in the spiritual realm, in your walk with the Lord, where you're going through struggles, as we talked about already this morning, whether it's fear or anxiety or some other unknown struggle. And I wonder if in those moments, all you needed was that assurance from the Lord, "Hey, I'm right here. You're not alone. I see you." Fear is something that we all struggle with. Do not fear, that phrase, "do not fear," is all through the Word of God. And it's all through the Word of God because God knows that it is a struggle that we all have. Do not fear. We sometimes wake up, and what are the things that wake you up? What are you anxious about? Is it a personal situation, a family situation? Is it a struggle about finances? Perhaps it's worries about parenting, different situations that you've got going on with your kids, whether they're little or whether they're grown. Perhaps it's fear or anxiety about the political climate of our world right now and the things that are going on. Maybe it's health scares, diagnoses that have come from the doctor that you're just unsure about. We all struggle on some level with these fears. My question for us today, and what I want to dig into, is when we struggle with fear or anxiety or fill in the blank, do we struggle as people who believe that our God is near? Or do we struggle because we believe that God is distant, that he is far away? If we posture ourselves or live in such a way where our belief is that God is distant, that means that we are believing that the fear is all-encompassing, that darkness is all around. Whereas if we live as people who believe that our God is near, that he is Emmanuel, God with us, then we live in such a way that we know that his presence is enough to remove fear, to settle us with peace, so that we can continue to trust him and depend on him in all situations and in all circumstances. You know, the world says to us things very subtly. Sometimes they're loud, but most of the time these messages are subtle. The world says things like, stay afraid. When fear comes, pull away and isolate. I don't know why we do that. I don't know why, you know, the enemy, well, I know why the enemy does it. I don't know why we listen to the enemy. The enemy tells us to isolate because when we isolate, we pull away from this, from the community that God has placed us in, from the church that he has instituted. He has given to us for our good. The world says, the enemy says, isolate, pull away. You're afraid. You're struggling. You're messy. Stay alone. Man, that's not what the kingdom of God says. Kingdom of God says, you're a mess? Awesome. Come to church, be in community, get with your people who are also messy, and let's pray and let's stand together. The world script versus the kingdom script. The world says obsess about the struggles, about the fear, about the anxiety. God's kingdom says trust. The world says worry. God says, would you depend on me in all circumstances and in all seasons? I want you to think through the last week, month, season of your life. Have you felt any of these pressures to live or to think as the world does, instead of walking in the truth that your God is near? Are there fears of your own that perhaps keep you awake at night? Into a world of fear and anxiety and unknowns, Jesus stepped in and he announced something transformational. In Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, if you have your Bibles, you can open to that. We're going to have it up on the screen. This is our text for today. Mark 1, 14 and 15, we read of Jesus' great announcement into a world filled with confusion. It says, later on, after John was arrested, Jesus went into Galilee where he preached God's good news. The time promised by God has come at last, he announced. The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news. The words that Jesus says is the time has come. The time promised by God is here. The kingdom is near. Repent and believe the good news. Now, the context of this passage is we've been going through the life of Jesus. The historical context is now John the Baptist has been arrested. Last week, we learned about John the Baptist saying, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Some time has passed, and Jesus has just learned that his friend, that the one announcing that he was coming, the one preparing the way, his family member has been arrested. There is increasing political tension in the world that Jesus lived in at that time. But the people were holding on to this messianic hope that the Messiah would come. The Messiah would come and deliver them from their troubles. Now, what they were hoping for was different, and we'll get into that, than what Jesus brought. But there was this messianic hope. There is the Messiah that is going to come, that is going to set us free. And this is the climate in which Jesus preaches, where he gives this announcement. He's proclaiming the reality that now was, that he was here. He says, the time is fulfilled, the time has come. Now, when we think of the word time, there's basically two Greek words used to describe time. And one is just the chronological time, right? Like the hours on a clock, the time. And the other is this strategic, the time is now, it's the opportunity, it's the decisive time. And this is what Jesus is saying here. He's saying the time has come, meaning the strategic time for the kingdom of God is right now. The time that you have been waiting for, the messianic hope, it is now. Now is the time when change comes. Now is the time for fear to be gone and for peace to come. Now is the time when you hear my word saying the time has come. It's just like mama's word saying, mama's here, baby. Jesus is saying, the time has come. Don't let it pass you by. This is God's decisive moment arrived. And it is the fulfillment of prophetic hope. Later we read in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, this is a time when Jesus is fulfilling a prophecy, a prophetic word from Isaiah 61. Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. See, Jesus is saying, the time has arrived. The time is here. It is my time to do what? To set people free, to set the captives free, the oppressed free, to bring about freedom and peace and hope and rest, to bring the good news. The good news is this freedom and favor of the Lord. And he says, the time is now. The kingdom of God has come near. Those words that Jesus says, the kingdom of God has come near. When we think about God's kingdom, it's his reign, it is his authority. It's not as the world thinks or understands or processes news or information. It's not how the world operates. It is different. It is a different standard of living and of understanding. It is God coming and restoring what was broken. It's a kingdom of grace. It's a kingdom of forgiveness. A kingdom of freedom. A kingdom of love. It's a kingdom that says you can trust instead of fear. It's God's kingdom that says you can depend on me. So rest. It's God's kingdom that says surrender. Stop striving and trying to control. Surrender and trust. God's kingdom was different. And our response to the arrival of the kingdom should be marked as different from how we respond to the world. Now, I love this. I love that we are meant to be different because the kingdom of God stands in stark contrast to the kingdom of the world. If people think you're weird for following Jesus, can I just tell you, like, wear that as like a badge? Like, yep, I'm weird. I'm following Jesus. I'm not living according to the world. I'm living according to my King, to the kingdom of God. We are meant to be different. Thank you, Ryan. Jesus then says, repent and believe. Repent means to turn toward Jesus. Now, this is a complete directional change. Now, I have to tell you a funny story. My kids are going to love it. When I was a teenager and I was in youth group, one of the youth groups in our town changed their name to be Youth 180. And I heard that and I thought, that is a really weird name for a youth group. Like, and they're talking about, well, because you repent, you know, you turn 180 degrees. And I'm like, what do you mean you turn 180 degrees? Like, you want to go all the way around. You're going to turn 360 degrees. And it wasn't until years later, I've never been good at math, people. It wasn't until years later that I realized if I start here in sin and I turn 360 degrees, I'm still in sin. Repent. You only got to go 180. It's good news. Okay? It's good news. I know. Repent. Do a 180 turn from where you were to where you're going. You know, if I were to tell you, let's say that you're living in Halifax, okay, and I want you to come to Nanaimo, and I send you a message saying, hey, hop on a plane, come to Nanaimo. I don't have to tell you, leave Halifax and come to Nanaimo. That's just obvious. If you're going to come here from there, you're leaving what was, right? Just like with God, with repentance. When we say come to God, it necessarily means that you are leaving what was behind. Leave it behind and come to Christ. Come to Jesus. We can't come to the kingdom of God unless we first leave our sin and the patterns of the world behind, leaving the old ways to enter new life. Jesus says, repent. The time is now. Turn from your old ways and come to me. And then he says, believe. Believe. The word that Jesus uses for believe means so much more than just knowledge. It means so much more than just a mental assent, an agreement of the mind. This belief speaks of a relationship of trust and rest. Those two things in tandem, trust and rest. To believe, it's not just an intellectual response. It is to rest in the truth of the gospel of Jesus, that he has come for you, that he sees you, that he knows you, that he loves you. It is to rest in that truth and to find peace in the truth. It's resting in him, living as though Jesus is actually king. Okay? Let the king of my heart be my God. Let the king of my heart lead me and guide me. Let the king of my heart fill me. Live as though we believe that we serve a king who sees us, who knows us by name. Rest and trust in him. Where do you need to turn to today? Where are you still clinging to control? Perhaps there's an area I've got some in my own life. I like to control. I like to make sure things are in order and good. Is there perhaps a place where God is saying, would you let go and would you trust me? What patterns is God saying, you can leave those behind. You can leave those behind. Come to me. Tomorrow morning, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, as you go through the week, what would it look like for you to trust and rest in Jesus? Think about that for a moment. What would it look like for me to trust and rest in Jesus? For me, there's a practice that I've started in the last few weeks. I mentioned it and shared it in our home group. It's brought me so much life, and it's this, it's so simple. God before anything else. God before my phone. God before my emails. God before whatever. God before coffee. Right? That's been a stretch. Not gonna lie. But taking the time and the intention to say, as soon as my eyes open, I'm grabbing the Bible and I'm reading his word before I look at anything else. It has been a transformational practice for me because it has set me in the right path for my day, in the right attitude, the right mindset. I'm so used to doing my devotions, but typically after I do some other things, this starting at very first thing in the morning before anything else. That's for me what in this season trust and rest looks like. Saying, God, before anything else, I come to you. It's letting go of control and saying, I just want Jesus. What would trusting and resting in Jesus look like for you at work? I know some of your work situations, you can't go about and loudly proclaim Jesus. I get that. But how can you live in such a way where people see you and they see the light of Jesus shining through? How can you operate at work in such a way where people see you and say, there is something different about you? You're like, yeah, I know. Let's go talk about it, you know, at a break or whatever you can, because I'm different, because I live according to the King's standards. What would trusting and resting in Jesus look like for you in parenting? Whether you're parenting little ones or you're parenting adult children, what does it look like for you to trust and rest? Jesus, you've got my kids. I rest in you. What would it look like for you to trust and rest when you're going through areas of conflict? Again, the world says strive, try to fix, try to do all these things to solve or perhaps to disassociate. We're just going to cut that off. What would it look like for you to trust and rest according to the kingdom of God when you are walking through areas of struggle or conflict? Perhaps it's just a release saying, God, you've got this. I'm going to continue to walk in your ways and trust that you are going to bring peace to this situation. What would it look like to trust and rest in Jesus with matters of money, finances, daily provision? Give us this day our daily bread. God, what would it look like for me to trust you and to rest in your promise that you will provide? Perhaps some of us need to step out in forgiveness, stopping destructive habits. Maybe it's a practice of Sabbath. Maybe we've walked away from understanding that it's so life-giving and such a testament of trust and faith that when I do nothing but enjoy my God and rest in his presence on this day, that he takes care of the rest. Perhaps it's just praying, saturating your life in prayer. The kingdom of God, Jesus says, is now. The time has come. It is here. There is such an immediacy to Jesus' words. He's saying, don't wait. Don't wait to repent and believe. The time is now. Don't wait to trust and depend. The time is now. Don't wait for a calmer season. Oh, we do this, don't we? When everything works out, then I will, whatever it is. Then I will go to church. Then I will be a part of community. Then I will trust you. Then I will tithe. When everything else, no. That's not the way the kingdom of God works. We don't wait for the calmer season. We trust him in the here and the now because the time has come. Jesus has come near. God's kingdom and his way, it is here. We are to step in with trust and wholly depend on him. What would it look like for our church, for Harvest Church, to truly live according to the kingdom of God? To truly live like the kingdom of God is here, that the time is now. I have to tell you, I've been struggling just internally as I've looked out on our city. And I've been praying, you know, just in my own personal times of prayer, God, how do you want us to reach this city? Lord, how do we get people to come in? Pastors, we've got a pastor here, a retired pastor as well. I think it's some of our biggest prayers is we want to see revival in our city. We want to see people turn to the living God. Yesterday, as I was out shopping with my girls, just running errands, I was walking on the sidewalk, and every person that I saw, I just felt like the Holy Spirit said, pray for them and expect that I'm going to do a work in their life. What would it look like, church, if we, when we're out in the world, we saw people the way that Jesus sees them? And we were burdened to pray for them, to say, God, would you meet them? God, would you intersect their lives? God, would you show up for them in a way that they aren't even expecting? God, would you draw them to yourself? And then trust that he is working. Trust that he is calling, that he is doing good. If we were a community marked by trust and rest, I believe that we would operate in all areas with a sense of peace. That's not meaning that we don't have conflict, but it means that we can rest secure in the arms of Jesus, knowing that he is in control. A community marked by peace. Reconciliation. That we would be a church of reconciliation where the hurt, the broken, could come and be restored. Where we need to say, I'm sorry, that we would step out in faith and do that. Where we need to be agents of reconciliation that God's calling us to, that we would. That we would be a community marked by prayer. Jesus, it's only you, it's only through you that we will see change, that we will see deliverance, that we will see the blind seeing, the oppressed set free. That's what Jesus came to do. That we would be a people marked by prayer and prayers of faith, that we believe, God, what you have said you will do. I desire, it is my heart, that we as a church would be a visible outpost of the kingdom of God. We would be the city on the hill whose light shines out, that people would know there's something different there. God is at work there. I want us to be a church where people see God reigns here. He reigns at Harvest Church. He reigns in each one of our lives. God reigns. I want you to think back to my story of Caleb from earlier this week, crying out in fear, saying, Mama, I love you, when he heard my voice saying, I'm here, buddy, I'm here. He was at perfect peace when he heard my announcement. And just like Caleb, I believe that God is calling us to be a people who hear the voice of our God saying, I'm here. The time has come. The time is now. You are not alone. I'm here. Darkness may be all around you, but I am with you. Do not be afraid. Trust and believe. Worship team, you can come. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Our God reigns today. Our God is in control today. And sometimes we can feel like everything is out of control. And it's in those moments where we get to say, I lift up my hands. I'm not going to strive. I'm not going to try to fix. I'm not going to try to manipulate. Jesus, I'm trusting you. That you reign, that you are in control, and that you've got me. Church, we get to do that today. We get to say, God, you reign. Reign over my life. Reign in my situations. Reign. Let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Church, would you stand with me? Let's pray. God, I thank you that you are here. God, that your words that you announced, I'm here. It's time for the kingdom. The kingdom of God is at hand. Lord, I pray that we would live as people, as your followers, God, who know that, who live it out in trust and in rest. God, that we would hear your words and we would say, yes, Jesus, I receive it. I believe it. God, I know that you are here. Father, help us to release our hands where we're trying to control. God, that we would release our grip and we would instead turn to you in full trust and full dependence. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.